Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday to everyone. Welcome. Good evening. Thoughtful Tuesday to all of you. Welcome to the Dr. Lowe Show, hosted by Dr. Larissa D. Smith, Pastor Eddie Pratt, and special guest Tina Robinson. Matthew 6, 33. Set your hearts on his kingdom first, and on God's saving justice, and all these other things will be given to you as well.
And I dream the night is almost half a day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say,
my thoughts for Tuesday. I am Dr. Larissa D. Smith, the host of the Dr. Lowe Show. And the question you may have in your mind, why should I take time to take out Dr. Lowe? You know, I'm the real relationship guru. I have no filters. I come at you. You can listen. You can step back or you can join in because you have that possibility of being a part of the Dr. Lowe Show. Our call-in number so you can be a part of it is 347-857-4192. Make sure you press 1 so we can make sure you get you on the line so you can share your thoughts, your concern, and your expertise. All right, the web link to check out the show, if you want to go to the internet, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. And you also have an opportunity to join us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/BRLDalbertoSmith. And we're also kicking it hard on Twitters as well, and that's Coach Dr. Larissa D. Smith, 15. You can check us out that way as well. So we have several avenues where you can check us out. Our title for tonight is Dating Sucks, and I want some of you to think about it. What's been going on in your life in the dating department? Think about whether you built for dating. Think about some of the things that just the stages. You might not understand the 5 stages of it. Of dating. We're going to talk about it a little bit. We're going to talk about personal experience. And it's so glad to be able to come to you tonight and share some things with you. Now, if you also want to join us also on our Twitter account, besides the one I mentioned, it's at Larissa D. Smith 15, at Dr. Lowe Show with the number 1, and finally at Dr. Larissa Smith with the number one. You can also email the show. That is LorenzaBSmith15@gmail.com. Share your thoughts that way. We're going to have an awesome time tonight. I'm so excited as you was checking out the introduction. You know, I reach way back. We don't own the rights to the music. But I reach way back to Luther Vandross. And if you're coming through those times and you just listen to it, it just puts you in that right spirit. It gets you relaxed enough so if you're getting off work, you can just get you a cup of coffee, get you some tea, get you a pastry, if you want to call that, a cookie, and sit there. If not, you may just want to sit down at the dinner table and just check us out and just enjoy yourself, because that's what we're going to bring you, some real relationship talk. And we don't have no filters now. We're going to say some things you may not be used to hearing. I don't mean we're not going to go explicit now. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, you might, wow, I didn't think of that. But that's what it's all about. We want to nourish you. We want to give you the things you need so you can be better at the game. And it is, for some people, a game now. Dating is a game for some people. They used to have a show on called, what, the Dating Show or something like that. Matching up. It's been a long time, but it is a game for some people. They keep score. You got to be very careful with those people you're dealing with. Now, I'm not going to prolong it any longer. Our title again, Dating Suck. Have two outstanding individuals. I mentioned them twice, even in the introduction. Then after that, first we're going to start with our co-host that joined us from the state of Texas, around in the area of the Dallas-Fort Worth. He's a relationship strategist as well as coach. None other than I call my friend, and I told him I'm going to speak in existence, doctor. He will be that doctor very soon, Pastor Eddie Pratt. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing great, Dr. Lowe. How are you doing today? Good to hear you, and good to be on the show with you.
Man, it's really good to have you, because it's going to be quite entertaining. And Pastor Pratt, we get on here, and we try to feed off each other, and we try to move this to another level where you can really something out of it. Also, I want to introduce our guest expert tonight. This young lady, by way of, I would call this person my friend. That's Denise, Ministress Denise Stephanie, out of Berkeley, California. Made sure I networked and connected with this young lady. And I said, when she came on the show on Monday night, I was really excited because she shared some powerful things. Because we had to begin to think about ourselves. She's the founder and the CEO of Owning My Own Truth. Owning it. Come on now. You have to own the truth so you can move forward. And that's how it is in relationships. You have to own that relationship. Requires effort, requires you doing some work. She's also an outstanding speaker. I can say that now because she spoke elegant and spoke well last week. And she's coming back tonight. Yeah. And she's going to offer some truth. She said, it's going to be some truth tonight talking about relationships. Dating sucks. So none other than our guest expert, Tina Robinson. How you doing, Tina?
I am wonderful and highly blessed. Hello. Well, thank you for having me again. I'm so excited and looking forward to this amazing topic and discussion this evening. Hello, Life Coach, Pastor Eddie Gray.
Hey, how you doing, Sister Tina? How are you? Good to hear your voice.
Hey, everybody know each other around here, so we're so glad we get. So you know what it's going to be like tonight, so just get ready. You know, we're heard in 18 countries, and we're so proud to have that opportunity through the Smithway Production Company, and we're really excited. In the last 4 or 5 months, I've been talking about this because it's been important. It was during the time, and still we're in the pandemic, but when it first kicked off, I noticed as our listening audience expanded. It expanded not only in countries and nations in on Africa as well as in Asia or Europe, but we stayed in North America, where we are in the United States and to the north of us. We're so glad to have listeners in Canada. Then also, we on the borders on in the north of Canada, but then look down and had listeners out of Mexico. So we're expanding. We're so glad that God is blessing this vision. And he said, get the word out, Doc. Make sure you get it out. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're ready to have a ball. So we want you to be a part of it. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 and make sure you offer your expertise, because I will identify, once I see you pop up on the board with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then ask you to offer your location. And I do that for you. You can kind of see where we are in the country or in the world. It's fine to do that, then offer your expertise. All right, let's get ready, team, to kind of look at dating sucks. You know, I was sitting down with a real good friend of mine. Well, we was on the phone, we was talking. I said, I need a real good topic that may catch some attention on Tuesday night on the relationship show. And I thought about dating preference. I thought about a couple of things. Then it just snapped and said, dating sucks for some people and not for everybody. And we have to keep that in mind. So we're going to talk about it tonight, because we always on our shows, and Brother Pratt knows, we always talk of one particular thing. We put a lot, one word with whatever is kind of going on, and he's going to agree with me in regards to built. You know, the word built. Are you built for dating? And that's the first topic we're going to talk about. So just get ready to get at it. We have Tina Robinson, as I mentioned earlier, and Brother Dr. Pastor Eddie Pratt. Your team, you can get started when you feel comfortable. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Speak it. Let's speak the truth now. Let's talk about whether you're built for dating.
Okay, so I would like to start with asking, when you're built for dating, what are your strengths and your weaknesses? Like, do you have patience? Are you impatient? Pastor Pat, can you kind of help me along with this part? Because understanding if you're built for dating, you need to know, as you told me, who you are. You know, what is it that I will and will not deal with? You can go ahead, but I felt like I was built for dating, but it happened so well.
All right, so I think that one of the things that's a major part of whether you're built for dating is specifically you've got to understand what type of dating relationship are you looking for. That is the first thing that I believe that will determine whether you're built for dating. Because first of all, to be built for dating, you have to be in that dating relationship where you're not just trying to satisfy yourself.
Mm.
You have to have, to be built for dating, you have to be built for companionship. And that is appreciating and acknowledging the needs of the other person that's in the relationship, as well as getting your needs and your wants met as well. So there's got to be a reciprocity of meeting the needs of the partner. And if you're not able to do that, then you're not built for dating.
Okay.
That's awesome. Awesome. I'm going to tell you now. Go ahead on, Tina. You can come on. Jump on in right here, Tina.
I was just saying, I totally agree. You know, when you are built for being a team player, you have to be, you have to have some type of balance, like knowing that you're going into this relationship for whatever reason. If it's for companionship, if it's for marriage, we need to be clear from the gate, because, you know, we're adults here. You know what you want from the gate when you meet someone. But then we can go a little further on the dating types, because what they say, you can end up with dating a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I call that topic Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So if we can elaborate on that, Dr. Jekyll, for me, he knows your sensitive mood, he knows your temperament. He knows what to say to make you happy, to make you upset. Sir Hyde is the one who whines and dines you. So if you get those two entangled and they have a deceitful motive behind their relationship with you, it can be catastrophic. Or on the flip side, it can be, you know, a very positive relationship, because that individual knows what to do to make you happy, to bring the best out of you, to, you know, keep you elevated in life, to keep you motivated and inspired. But, you know, on the negative side, that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde can break you, can break your spirit, and you don't even know. So.
And so just piggybacking on what Tina said, is all of that is driven by the motives of the dating relationship to begin with. If you are operating on two different motives, if a person is doing, if a person is operating with the motive of only self-gratification to get what they want, then you've got that Jekyll and Hyde, because they're not operating with the same motive. I think that it's important that the motives for the relationship are lined up so that nobody gets hurt, because it's not like one person gets blindsided by behavior that they didn't sign up for.
Right.
Exactly. And let me jump right in right there, because, see, one thing about when we talk about dating, you remember Pastor Pratt, we talk about intentionally and unintentionally. A lot of time people intentionally, some of the things was just said that you already have. You have goals. You know what you're looking for. You can already write the story before it gets started, meaning you know what you're going after. You're intentionally going after that person with a certain goal in mind. Now you're on the other flip side. As Tina was saying, you might get Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And that Dr. Jekyll may fall in that category, acting like they know what they want. But Mr. Hyde might be over here really hiding over here, waiting for opportunities to seize and pounce on you. So you have to be very careful about when you get into a dating situation. Too many people are looking for the wrong thing in dating. When we talk about relationships, we talk about when we meet people, we set certain things that we, you know, in motion. You know, when I meet you, your name, I know your name. That's our social stage when we're just getting started up. Then I want to know more about you. I'll move to that point where I want to get acquainted. But I got to have, some understanding or some sense of what I want. If I'm not clear on what I want, Why is the purpose of me trying to date you? Because I really don't know what I want. And another thing, communication. One of the things that you really want to be in a relationship or get into the dating scene, you need to go and have a plan. Now, I always tell my children that. You know, I tell them, you got to have a plan. You just don't just meet somebody there and all of a sudden, you know, we're going to do this. So you have to have a plan of action.
Yeah.
And then once you plan what you're doing, act on it sincerely now. That's one of the things. Because if your motive, you know, it was said about a motive, if your motive is to get from first base or home plate to third base without touching first and second, you're going to have a problem, you know, because you're going to have to communicate, because everybody's not, that's not what they're looking for. Because dating is trying to get to know you. Go through the two stages of being an associate and acquaintance. That's when you begin to understand it, because you got to determine how many dates and how many times you want to spend. Because if you go out on a date with the first time and you don't like it, why go back? So you have to you have to be straightforward with people and not have these hidden motives. Some people have hidden motives, and you have to be careful. They'll watch you like a hawk. They see everything you do, listen to everything. And then they transform, I call them a chameleon, put themselves in a way that you would like them. But that is not the best way to do it, because, you know, I always say, you know, they send a representative, they're going to show themselves, and when they show themselves, read what you see. And that's some of the things we got to be really, it's back to intentionally. I'm intentionally want to date you, or unintentionally. Just by chance, I'm gonna see what I can get out of this situation. You know, going from associate all the way to the romantic, and looking for and forgetting about the steps in between, or the tiers in between. Now, that's the way I see it, and the team has shared their thoughts on it. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. We want you to share your thoughts about this as well. You know, the board is filling up pretty fast. We just hope you press 1. And then when you once you do that, I'll allow you to offer your name and your location if you want to, and then give your expertise. Okay, any other thoughts in regards to individual or you as a person built for dating? You know, it was a question asked, are you built for dating? Either one of y'all want to share your thoughts, kind of close that one out. We'll move forward to the next one.
I'm ready to move on to the next one.
Yeah, we can move on.
All right. Hey, so that's good because the next one is really, really we want to talk about. Because, again, if you're not built for dating, you probably don't understand what the stages of dating is. Because you have to have a mindset and to understand there are stages when you first start working through the process of dating. And I'm just going to quickly run out some stages, and we're going to talk about the ones each one of us, as well as you have an opportunity to call in as well, or either share your thoughts on Facebook like normally people be typing comments. I need you to type the comments in. You know, you have a stage when I see you, I'm attracted to you. That's that first stage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I attracted by connection? That's one thing we have to keep in mind. I'm attracted to the external part of you. Oh, she's beautiful. She's going to be that person I'm going to have on my arms and all that. So I'm attracted to you. The attraction is there. But you better come right. And you got to speak right when you come. You know, because if you don't do that, you can fall into a category just because what looked good ain't always good.
Yeah. Come on now.
We can go to some places right there you don't want to go. And And the second one, I'm just going to run through the five of them right quick. Reality. See, when we go into a dating, we have to have some sense of reality. We can't go to dating emotional. And Pastor can talk about that right there. You know, emotion driving the car, knocking on the door, trying to get in. It locked the door. Make sure it can't get in. So if you're not going in there with the ideal of we're going to deal with reality. We're not going to deal with fantasy. You know, I used to have that love boat, you know, fantasy ship. You're going there with the ideal of reality. No. Next, commitment. Commitment. Well, everything we talk about in relationship, we talk about commitment.
Yeah.
Some people are not ready to commit. You know why? Because they don't know the definition of commitment. It's hard to commit when you don't know what it is. So if you want to be committed, you have to have an understanding, a true understanding, and a definition that you have, not what I give you, not written in the book, is what is commitment from you. Next thing is intimacy. Intimacy. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get caught up in thinking that's sex. You know, that's one of the things that they go from attraction or associate of getting acquainted straight to the bed. You just met him in the club. Now you're at the house in the bed. Call that intimacy. That's not intimacy. That's sex. That ain't intimate. Ain't nothing intimate about it. You know, so one of the things you got to remember, you got to understand what intimacy is. It's not sex. Don't tie that up. And let that be your definition, because intimacy involves romance. Come on now.
Yes.
We're gonna get that last one out of the five I'm sharing, and we're going to talk about them, and you'll share your thoughts on engagement. And engagement is that now you're in a relationship and you engage in what's going on. We didn't say, I'm proposing to you. I am proposing to be involved in the relationship. Too many times, people have 10% inside the door and 90% outside.
Right.
And you're not engaged. You just there because you feel like you have to be there, or until whatever that person have that you think that you have to have from them. As long as it's good, you're staying there. But when it gets bad, You go somewhere. But those are five I wanted to kind of share, and I want y'all to jump in and just either one of them you can attack, how you want to attack, share your thoughts, because we want to share what are the five stages we see, and we can make whatever one we want important, first, second,
right.
third, or fourth. Go ahead, old Doc.
Okay. So one of the things that I think is that is great that you mentioned in those five stages was the area of commitment. Now, mm-hmm. in the area of commitment, what I love about commitment defines the relationship. It defines what we are doing. So I'll give you an example. If we are committing to date exclusively, that's what we commit to. If mm-hmm. if they commit to, well, you know what, I'm not looking for a serious relationship. I'm going to date mm-hmm. and I'm going to date other people. That is what you commit to. In other words, the commitment is defined. First of all, it is putting a definition to what we are doing, and then it requires mm-hmm. consistent action after the definition has been established.
All right.
If we are committing to be dating, to move towards the direction of marriage, then that means we set up what the expectations are in that commitment, and then we stick to it. See, too often, I think what happens is that people may get charged up for whatever reason because they like the way each other look, or they may be in a challenging situation or whatever. But when we commit to something without seeing consistent behavior over time, that's what mm-hmm. commitment is. Commitment, like I've said before on earlier shows, George Zaluki has a definition of commitment being continuing to do the thing you said you would do long after the mood you said it in has left you.
Yes,
so
yes.
if you, when you commit to doing something, it means you continue to do it because that's what you agreed to do. And you don't do it based on how you feel or your emotions. You do it because that's what you committed to do. And you don't stop doing something because you're angry with the person. That may mean that you back up, or if you've been betrayed, then that's something different. But I'm saying commitment is defining the relationship and then defining the behavior and sticking to the behavior. Doing something two or three times does not prove consistency. You have to see consistency in behavior before you give your heart all the way to somebody. I believe that trust has to be earned. So, and trust can't be earned if you don't see consistency in behavior.
Right. I agree with that. I can speak on the flip side of that, of the lack of commitment when it's allegedly a committed relationship. Mm-hmm. When you go back to some of the first stages, is from the attraction, the reality, and the intimacy part of it. It's like if one isn't true with your individual selves about what they're dealing with behind relationships or past experiences, they can bring all that energy over into the present relationship, meaning that they never got healed. So from my experiences, I do now know what I want in a committed relationship, and in having the consistency and the reality that it is doable with both of us agreeing to work through any situations that may come up against us. Sometimes in the reality of a situation, because a guy or because a man or woman is so attracted to the opposite sex, they can give a false reality that causes one to become delusional, because they do things once or twice, as Pastor Pratt said, planting seeds just to keep you in their thoughts, but they're really not committed to the relationship because they're not staying consistent, but yet they drop seeds to in your reality to give you an illusion that there is potential there. So in relationships and dating, we have to really be aware of that, especially as I would say some of us sisters who did not come up in a household with their father and have an open relationship with their father, or a role male role model to tell a female what she should expect from a male companion, mm-hmm. and you know what she does not have to tolerate. Unfortunately, I've learned the hard way through delusional relationships, false commitment, lack of intimacy, lack of engagement. But I'm still here to talk about now I know what not to do. And the main thing in how I went down a path of negative experiences, I tried to mm-hmm. love individuals past their own pain, if that makes sense.
That makes
including,
a lot of sense.
Including all of the stages. It's like we had the attraction. We had what I thought was reality. We had what I thought was a commitment. You know, what I thought was intimacy, what I thought was him being engaged, but it was a hidden motive there. It was a hidden motive. So, all right, hoping that you all, Pastor Pratt and Dr. Lowe, give us more clarity to us women out here who's, you know, been through some hardship in relationships. You're saying some key things on even being able to look at five key things, five key stages. A lot of young people and even older people from past relationships, they don't even know how to identify with these things in a relationship. So I would call it situationships because they don't know how to define their individual role other than just going through the motions, if that makes sense to you all.
Tina, you're just, and Pastor Pratt, y'all are just hitting it on the head. And that last thing you said, Tina, I had a smile. I'm quite sure I'm live on Facebook. People looking at, look at that man making that smile. Situationship. We have to remember when we're going into a relationship, when we do understand those five stages, you know, each one of them requires a great effort. That's one thing.
Yeah.
You can't pick one and don't do the other one. Because it all comes together, because you'll go through each stage to get to a final thing. Pastor Pratt said it earlier. We talked about it on our shows. We're talking about a life partner. So when you're talking about a life partner, if you go through each one of these stages and develop a clear understanding of each one of them, you will be able to get a lifetime commitment. A lifetime partnership is a lifetime commitment. Look at the connection.
That's right.
Look at the connection. Because we always start off attracted to somebody. Yeah, she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. He's nice looking dudes, you know. But you got to allow them to be able to do one of the things that we talk about in healthy relationship is open their mouth and communicate. They can be attracted how they want to be, but if they once they open their mouth, they'll make you run. And it might be for whatever reason. I won't go into what some people run from. But what I'm saying, mm-hmm. you got to have a clear understanding that with that attraction, something else goes along with it. That could be, can they communicate?
Mm-hmm.
Are they committed? Or are they ready to be dedicated? Is there a connection? All the things we talk about when we're talking about, are they going to be honest with me? Trustworthy. All of this comes out when you start developing intentionally dating. See, when you, mm-hmm. all these attractions and you get into reality, you get into commitment, you get into intimacy, you get into engagement, it's intentional now. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go part of the way. Because if I'm going part of the way, I don't even want to wait. And someone told me that I was talking to a good friend of mine. He was talking about, I'm not going to go through no relationship dating somebody, and they don't want to move forward to a life partnership or a life commitment maybe because I'm wasting my time. Your time mm-hmm. is valuable, and that's reality right there. Time yeah. is reality, and we have to yeah. keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So once we begin to understand those stages, and related to our life and how we have taken steps to get to that lifetime partner or that lifetime commitment, then we'll begin to be able to do the things we have to do. Because you can't be in a relationship and don't be engaged. That's a bad relationship to be in if you're not engaged. Right. Engagement goes along with you moving toward that commitment. And I always go back and I thank Pastor Pratt when he shared about even with his own wife, and he said no matter what the situation was Friday, how did but he get up Saturday morning and he cooked that breakfast. No matter what it was last night, that's mm-hmm. where you committed. That's where you're showing the romantic part. That's where reality have set in that you have to move beyond what happened last night. And then now by doing that, you're now engaged in uplifting your healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, don't hold grudges.
Not if you want to move to that lifetime commitment, because
right.
everybody has faults. You know, on my show when I talk about love, the O is about overlooking faults.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold a grudge, that means you're not overlooking what has happened.
That's right. That's exactly right.
See, you're not overlooking. Go ahead on, Pastor. You can jump in here.
Yeah, because when – let's look at it a different way. Or the same
okay.
way, actually. Look at it the same way. God loves us unconditionally.
Yeah.
He's always faithful, even when we're unfaithful. Now, I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying that you continue to be faithful to somebody that's being unfaithful. But what I am
mm-hmm.
saying is that you have to be faithful to each other in both of your imperfections.
So therefore,
in the midst of, okay, I don't like what you did today, or I don't like you today, so since you've hurt my feelings, If I go back to the scenario of what I said about fixing her breakfast in bed every Saturday morning. Oh, you made me mad, so get your own breakfast.
Come on.
That's not commitment. That's not commitment. That's why I said commitment is continuing to do the thing that you said that you would do long after the mood you said it in is gone. In other words, when I said that I would cook her breakfast in bed, I was in a lovey-dovey mood when I said it. But now, if we have an argument that we still haven't solved on Saturday morning, I'm still going to fix you breakfast. It's because it's what I committed to. Those are some foundational things that I committed to in our marriage, regardless of whether we get along or not. See, too often when we make decisions about commitment based on emotion, and that is what throws the wrench into the relationship, because that is loving, that is conditionally loving. As long as you don't make me mad, I'll commit to doing this, that, and the other. But if you make me mad, I'm not going to do this, that, and the other. That's not commitment.
No.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I had a fond memory. If I can share briefly, you're thinking about, I was listening to this pastor speak saying, I got you, and how man was made from ground and woman was actually made from a piece of man's rib. She wasn't made from the ground like man was. But it just took me back to the rearing of under my mother and father, the late great Reverend T.C. and Mother Katie Mae Robinson. I'm just going to make this quick. 82, when father was in Africa on a retreat, her back went out. And as soon as father came home, he just started doing everything that she used to do. Like it was just, you know, like it was just what he had to do. And years later, he became ill. And that same woman who was bedridden at one point, when her husband took ill, the way she was moving around and pushing him in that wheelchair, you would have never thought she had a pain in her body. And that's what I see as commitment and loyalty. So although I took a detour in relationships, I know what commitment and loyalty looks like. And it was just a beautiful thought of thinking about that last night in light of doing this show on understanding the dating sucks, but when you have committed, loyal people to one another, understanding their moods or temperaments, but just still stay consistent, you will see beautiful outcomes. So I'm glad I was able to see that. And I'm still praying that I'll have that one day in my life.
Amen. Well, you're speaking into existence right now, Tina, because you already know what you're looking for. See, the thing about it, when we talk about dating, you have to really have a clear understanding, well-defined, for what you're looking for. And too many times, we are not sure. So we go into situations not sure whether, as Pastor Pratt as well, Tina said, whether I even want to be in this for a purpose of a lifetime commitment. I might just be in my motive is to just to accomplish what I can get from you. And it might not always be sexual. It could be financially, emotionally. See, these are things I might be looking for. So it's not going to define any lifetime commitment if I go and just going to go part of the way. When we're talking about relationship, we talk about dating, we got to be to the point where we know what we're looking for. Tim just said, you know, I saw that commitment, and that's what I want. You know, and when we're talking with people, we always have to be able to be honest with them if that's the person we think might could be our lifetime partner or we can be committed for the lifetime. We have to be totally honest. Communication is so important. You know, I was sharing this with a friend of mine just recently, and I said, I be honest, I pray, I said, God, just give me an opportunity to be with somebody that's care and love me, because I'm a lover. Because I love, and I love hard. And when you love hard, you're going to be committed. You're going to be engaged. You're going to realize this reality. And you're going to realize the intimacy, all those five things when you love hard. But you don't want to keep running across people who want to go to certain points then and do some of the things we said earlier, like get mad because you don't do what they want you to do right then. And that's a problem. But you have to be able to communicate with that individual exactly where you are in your life. Not
can we
what
kind
you
of speak? I'm sorry. May I speak on like if inner commitment in a relationship and one of members, female or male, they become angry. Would you say that emotion is probably a suppressed emotion from something from their past, or because that partner isn't following through like they want them to? They're triggered from something from their past, so therefore they, you know, get an emotional disconnect and become angry. Does that make sense? You know, like
it does.
Yes, it does.
Huh?
It makes sense.
Right. So, so that's why communication is so important.
Exactly.
You know,
let me share something with you all. Beside the call at number 347-857-4192, press 1. And I'll make sure I get you on the line and you share your thoughts. I can remember being in a relationship with this person, and the only thing was going good, they were fine. And I'm not saying that you're doing what you're asking, but as long as the things are going good. But one of the things they shared when I first met them, they was coming out of a situation that included some time stamps. And I always said time stamp. Traumatic experience places time stamps in your mind. If something may trigger it. Something may trigger it in your next relationship or next phase of life. So I won't, you know, call it, some people call it baggage. I don't call it baggage. I call it something God bless you to realize that when you're mistreated and you seek help and can't get help, it's going to stay with me for a while. I'm going to leave it there because we'll be on another show if we start talking next. But I couldn't understand that. You know, things seemed, when it was going real well, that person was, you know, just ready to go. They was excited. They was loving. They was caring. But the one time or one minute, it didn't go that well. And first thing they said, well, I'm experiencing the same thing I experienced when I was in the other situation. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. In my mind, I'm saying that we're not jealous. Let's keep it real. We're not jealous. And it's because I'm telling you where I'm coming from, and I'm making my effort.
Yeah.
But the minute it didn't go that way, then you decided to create it a game. And I tell people you got to be careful about a game. Some people play these games and they keep score.
Yeah.
They keep score dating, they keep score in relationship, and they also, some people keep score in marriage. I'm going to one-up you today. You know, and when I one-up, I ain't going to never forget it because I'm going to keep it, I'm going to keep it back in my memory that, you know, I got you. I got you now. Because I got you date. And a relationship shouldn't be, or dating shouldn't be about, I got you. I got you now. And I think that's what was going in part. I think the reality of this situation I'm sharing with you all, well, that's what it came to. All right, I got you now. You didn't say that. You didn't take time. You didn't do that. And a whole lot of things like that. But I wanted to kind of jump in right there, Tina, because you shared your thoughts on that. If any other thoughts you can share, y'all can share right now. Else, we're going to move to that next topic when we're talking about a time frame. Some people don't really have a time frame. How long do you date before you become serious with that person or consider it to be now a relationship?
Okay.
How long? Yes, sir.
All right. So I have a philosophy about time when it comes to this kind of thing. I don't think that you can readily put. I think that you the only way that you can gauge a time is first of all, you have to have consistency. You have to be witnessing consistency in behavior, and you have to be witnessing consistency in growth. Now, I don't know how long that takes because that varies from couple to couple.
Right.
There are some people that see the consistency in the relationship. I definitely think what I don't think it is 2 or 3 months. I don't think that's long enough. Because you cannot experience the real person in that length of time. Mm-hmm. I think that when we put time limits on that, especially if you have sex within those times, because see, here's what happens. Sex will cloud your judgment.
Yes, it will.
If the sex is good, you tend to lean towards, okay, we have a good sexual relationship, but then we don't, the other thing, the foundational things are not in place. Dr. Lowe, you talked about how we rush from being an associate to being in a relationship. And I think that, I don't think that there's a critical, I mean, I don't know what that time frame is, but I think that We have to be more wed to the process versus the clock.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is the consistency of behavior matched with the consistency of growth. What are we and here's the other part of it too. In the midst of that consistency and growth and behavior, that growth and that consistency of behavior needs to be tested with conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's got to be a disagreement somewhere in there. And I believe, not saying that we got to have this big, long, drawn-out fight, but what I am saying is that you just like our faith, gets tested.
Yeah.
The foundation of your relationship has to get tested to actually prove in the truth, to show true how strong and what kind of foundation you have in the relationship. Everybody can get along and everything is going fine. What's going to happen when there's a conflict? How are we going to respond together? And that takes time. And too often, if you get in a relationship, well, we answer each other's sentences. And both of us woke up today, and when we met each other at the thing, both of us had on the same colors. That ain't right. You know, that's nice and flowery, but I'm talking about, okay, I felt this way, and you felt that way. Now, that bothered me what you did. How do you, now you're getting into the real essence of what you're made of as a couple. When you can move through that
and move through it again and move through it again, and at the same time never lose the consistency of behavior and the consistency of growth. Because, you know, conflict is actually built to build your – it's built to grow your character. It's built it's designed to build your character. And in building that character, you can decide, hey, wait a minute, maybe this conflict right here shows me something about this person that I don't want to deal with, or I can't deal with. I can't tolerate this behavior. But you have to let that play out before you give your heart and give your body to somebody. That's what I believe. So I don't think it's a specific timetable that you can place for every couple.
No, sir. No, sir.
I agree.
No, sir. Yeah. And to just take that and just be realistic. You know, consistency of growth. Because you can't do it in a month or 2 months, you know, 90 days. You heard these books being written with 90 days. Don't do this until 90 days. You know, in 90 days, I'm just really getting to know you. I need to know some things.
And you don't even know if you're getting, you don't know if you're getting to know the real person or the representative that they sent.
You ain't saying a mouthful right there. Let's be realistic, because some people send a representative, they come full force at you. They can, I chameleon. They can just make themselves even look the way you want them to look, speak the way you want to think, the way you want them to think, say whatever you want them to say to get to a certain point. Now, you need to ask that person if you can turn yourself into a chameleon like that. I'll send your representative what you want from me. See, that's hard right there. We got to start doing that. What do you want from me? Because I know what I would want for you, and I know what I'm going to give for myself.
Right.
See, we know ourselves. We talk about self-love. When we're going into these relationships, if we really, really love ourselves, 30 days ain't long enough. 60 days ain't long enough. 90 days, not long enough. Let's be really, let's go through a couple seasons. Let's go, say a couple seasons, couple year of season. That's what, so you talk about we're going to build, and you can't build consistency in 30 days. You cannot, because you hadn't been doing it long. And plus, you don't know who you're dealing with. You got to, you got to understand who you're dealing with, because they may, like I said, they'll continue to be their chameleon, and all of a sudden they wake up one day, you be like, who is this?
Hello. Speak of it. Someone is speaking to me about seasons, if I may speak on that. It's like you want to know how they act when it's hot outside, when it's cold. In light of the pandemic, oh, my goodness, I found out so many truths of people of all walks of life. You see the people at their lowest being the most humble and the most free giving when they don't even have anything. But because of this COVID pandemic and the pandemonium of the police brutality, you're really finding out who people really are. You know, they dress the part, they drive the car, they quote the scripture inwardly. Are they ever, were they really being genuine? You know, you use people that you thought was going to be loyal for you. They put on this image like, hey, I'm here with you 100%. But when, you know, the fan gets broken, you know, for lack of better terminology, when it hits the fan, you really see who you can count on. You get the,
that's right.
What you said, the chameleon clothes come off and you find yourself by yourself, for yourself, and that's not a bad thing, because you'd rather be alone, happy, than miserable with someone else that don't know how to conversate about what they're going through. They don't know how to voice how this, you know, this challenge that's unknown to all of us, this pandemic, this virus, we don't know where it's coming from and how it may hit. We know to stay safe, but when it comes down to losing your job, possibly losing your home, you know, possessions, you're really seeing either couples really, you know, getting in on their front line together, or one just walking away or just lashing out on the closest one that's to them. So communication is so important in these relationships that we have, not just man and woman, but in your jobs, your churches, in your communities with different people. I would just say, you know, communication is the key, and even understanding the difference in emotions when the seasons change, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. You're so right on, Tina. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and we'll make sure we get you on the line, because I will identify your last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and we can chat about what we're talking about, dating sucks. And we want you to really understand that topic, because a lot of things has been is engulfed within that. We talked about several things, the stages. We talked about, are you built for dating? We talked about how long, you know. And one other thing I want to, two other things I want to touch on, and Tina just brought them out so masterly. Thank you, Tina. First, you brought out about situationship. And one of the things we're going to have to really understand, when we are intentionally dating, we don't fall into situationships. That's where I believe it. When I'm intentionally dating you, I want to move toward a exclusive relationship. And we know what an exclusive relationship is. But some people don't understand when they're unintentionally going through the process, it becomes a situationship. And a situationship first, I'm just going to say this one, and then the team will jump in. Situationship is only make up short time or short term, part of last minute planning. That's a situationship. You know, in situations, what situation I can put you in, you see how you respond.
Right.
But situation is short term. Ain't no consistency going to come in it. It's not going to be, as one of our listeners and watchers wrote about commitment and talking about dating, and it was, he knew some time, which say after 9 months, you know, you should be getting some idea exactly who you're going to be dealing with, whether you want to be with them a lifetime commitment. Situationship is going to last a month, a couple weeks. Now, don't let yourself break down and give that that temple. I call it your body is a temple. Everything you allow to come in goes in and stays in. And we have to be kind of careful about that. And we can carry that a long time with us, whether we believe it or not. So do a situationship is a short-term thing.
Right.
So your goal in dating is to be in an exclusive relationship that leads to a lifetime commitment, leads you to a life partner. Share your thoughts on that situationship. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Tina. Why don't you go ahead with
it? Oh, well, I'm just thinking about my situationship, which my perspective, my truth about situationship is with the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They knew what to say to be around, and they knew what to say to be gone for 30 minutes, to be gone for a couple of days, and then when they wanted to come back to get back in the door, their situationship will fall on you because they're telling you their hardship situation, the reason why they went off, the reason why they were disrespectful, the reason why they disappeared. They make the situation fall in your lap so you can be like, oh, well, okay, I'm understanding. It was a situation you were going through, so I could look past that. Or, you know, it's vice versa. The female can even, you know, be in a situationship mood with that individual that she only wants to be with that person only when it's convenient for her or him. That's what my perspective of a situationship is. It's based on whatever situation the opposite partner's in, and when and if they're available to want to come play the role that they're in a relationship. So it's, you know, it's just situational depending on the weather. Hello.
Here's
something. Here's something that I'd like to just say shortly on that subject. My daddy had a saying. Daddy said, "People can only be phony, but for so long."
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So therefore, it goes back to what I said about commitment and behavior. I mean, consistency, mm-hmm. consistency in behavior, and consistency in growth. If
mm-hmm.
it, depending on how bad somebody wants something, you can only be phony for so long. Mm-hmm. Conflict pulls out who people
yes.
really are. But you've mm-hmm. got to understand what I always say every show, three things. You've got to know who you are, what your principles are, and what your purpose is. And when you mm-hmm. lose sight of them three things, you will fall for anything.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you're keenly aware of those three things, when the person switches up on you into a situationship, when you recognize that's what you're in, you'll get out of it.
Yes.
You'll get out of it. You won't keep lingering, waiting for it to change. You will get out of it because that person has exposed what you wish that you didn't ever see. They have exposed your nightmare.
Mm.
Yeah.
And when somebody exposes, shows you your nightmare, not theirs, your nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Your nightmare has been put in front of you. That
mm-hmm.
the behavior, and I call it your nightmare because whenever somebody begins to act in a way that, like Tina said, a Jekyll and Hyde situation, you have seen another personality come out of the same person.
Woo, yes. No doubt.
And when you see contradictory, I'm not talking about, okay, I'm angry about something. You can be angry about something and still be a loving person.
Yes.
But when you see somebody showing up, being a certain way, and then all of a sudden they completely become ghost, that
mm-hmm.
is conflict of behavior. That is a contradiction in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And when you have a contradiction in behavior with someone that you were anticipating having a steady, stable relationship, you have just with your own eyes witnessed your own nightmare. And let me tell you something. This is why if you go to Matthew 7:24 in the Bible, I'm just going to summarize it real quick. When it says, therefore, those who hear, I'm just summarizing, those who hear my words and practice them, put them into practice. There's nothing in that scripture that talks about wait till you see how you feel before you do what I told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody shows you your nightmare, you've got to have the courage to walk away from your nightmare. It's just like, okay, when something scary comes on the TV, I change the channel.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right. I don't keep watching what I know that's going to scare the fool out of me.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to keep watching something that's going to give me bad dreams at night. Just getting a whiff of something scary makes me change the channel. I don't tell myself, well, I'm just going to keep on watching it and try to build up some courage to get used to it. Why do I need to do that to myself?
Yes, right. Yes.
I had a high tolerance of being hopeful and being optimistic in situations. I had that problem, that behavior of, you know, being very hopeful and optimistic. However, you know, as Pastor Pratt says, knowing who I am, what my principles are, and what my purpose is, when it came to the situational shifts, even with my children on out, coworkers, you know, business partners or whatever, when the situation becomes frightening and a nightmare resurfaces, I have to choose to remove myself from the situation and give myself permission to do it confidently and not, you know, be so submissive to their explanation of why their behavior was in disorder. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Yes.
So let me tell you what I think is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very high tolerance for hope too, but I have a high tolerance of hope from afar.
Mhm.
I don't have all the high tolerance levels.
You made me choke on my water.
Listen, I hope that you get better.
Yes.
It'll just be, but it won't be at my emotional expense.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Do you see what I'm saying? It won't be.
Yes.
It won't be
yes.
at my emotional. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stay with you until you drag me through this nightmare, hoping that this thing turns into a Christmas special. I don't think so.
No.
I'm not doing that. That is the definition.
He's not
that
even
is the definition. So here we go. We sign up for Jason Friday the 13th, hoping
yes.
that this thing turns out to miracle on 31st Street or 34th Street.
Oh,
I don't think
goodness.
So.
No.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen. And the calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I will identify your last four digits of your cell or telephone number, and then you can offer your thoughts, your expertise. Let's go back to something that Pastor Pratt and Willis Tina said about nightmare. You know, what scares us in a relationship, we actually we see our worst fear, someone acting it out.
That's right.
The fear. They're acting it out. So we say when you show yourself, they show themselves, believe what you see. And the thing Pastor Pratt is sharing in regards to people sitting up watching a scary movie and hoping it's going to turn into the miracle on 34th Street, you're looking at that nightmare, which is one of your worst fears, and the best thing for you to do is run as fast as you can.
That's
just
right.
Like he said, I'm about to get up from this couch. I can't sit on this couch. I can change the channel, but you have to do that in a relationship. But we got a call on the line. I want to give them a chance to shout us out right quick. The last four digits of their telephone number, cell, is 6091. You are now live. If you can share your location, then offer your expertise.
Hello, I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
There are a couple of things.
Come on, fam.
There's a couple of things that was said that I just wanted to tap into, and my experience, my knowledge, I wanted to share in terms of a relationship is that women, we have, and some may agree and some may not, but one thing that I've learned is that women, we have a tendency to give the man the script. We share mm-hmm. so much of ourselves, and the man is listening. Therefore, he becomes mm-hmm. who we tell them that we want them to be.
That's exactly
not,
right.
It has nothing mm-hmm. to do with who they really are, but it has been consistent in my experience that my mother said, if you want to see a person for who they are, give them 90 days. By that 91st day, they are going to tire of that role that they've been perpetrating. Because if it's not who they are to be a gentleman or concerned about your welfare, they're going to get tired of it. And then to us, it's like, oh, my God, he's changed. No, he hasn't changed. He just showed you who he was. And we women and men may do the same thing. We get so caught up in a fantasy of who we think these individuals should be or who we want them to be, then we convince ourselves that they are who we want them to be. And so we fight
yeah.
against accepting who they show themselves to be. Well, no, he was this or he did this and he did that. Yeah, he did all of those things because he read our script. He paid attention to what we were saying, so he became that individual. And
okay.
now that he's tired of playing a role, or now that he's received what he wanted, now he don't have
mm-hmm.
to front anymore. Now he don't have to be that character that he became, you know, this prince in shining armor that we literally told him, this is what we want, this is what we don't like. And so he's keen enough to become that individual. And then on that 91st day, when the real person show up, you know, we're crying to our friends like, oh, you know, he's different. He's saying, no, honey, the real him showed up. And as soon
so
as
can
you
I can I help
that,
can I help can I help
you
with something?
Come on, Pastor, come on.
All right, so listen to this. I want ladies, I want y'all to hear this real good. I'm getting ready to give you some real good man stuff. Some of the guys are gonna be pissed off
right
at me. I'm getting ready to give you some real good stuff. First of all, I want y'all to catch this. A dude that is determined will go past 90 days to get what he wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The 91st day won't mean nothing, because I want you to understand something about a predator.
Mm.
A predator already knows about the 90-day game.
Mm.
So they already have it in their head, all I got to do is be good for 90 days. But I'm going to stretch it out to 120 days.
Come
so
on.
If I stretch it out a little bit longer, then she's going to really think I'm a good dude. This is why I said the time in days means nothing to a predator. It means nothing to them. They have a guy that really has determination to get what he wants, he already knows about the 90-day game. Now, let me tell you another thing that's really interesting. If you want to learn about a man, you got to learn about a man from another man.
Okay.
Now, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. If you will notice, he's a great listener until he gets what he wants. Then all of a sudden, you get no conversation from him because he's only a good listener as a predator, because just like you said, he's listening to the script that you give. Ladies, what you've got to do is talk less and watch more.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Stop giving up so much information about what you're looking for, because here's what you got to understand. While y'all are doing the natural thing that you do, while you're talking about what you want, he's not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's just listening.
Mm-hmm.
He's gathering information, and he's calculating in his head, you know what, this is going to take longer than 90 days. That's what a predator is doing. He's saying, you know what, I may have to roll this out for about 6 months. I'm going to have to do this for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I may,
yes.
Oh, I'll be able to get what I want in 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Yep.
Matter of fact, I've listened to what she said, what her weaknesses are, so all I got to do is do what I need to do for 30 days, and she'll fold.
Mm-hmm.
Talk less, and watch more.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Stop giving them the right here, and
Pastor Pratt, because you've brought it to the forefront. A predator has a purpose. Just remember, most men have a purpose, and they are
determined
to accomplish that purpose, they will do anything to get to what they're planning to do. And all that's saying is that by having a purpose, I'm going to sit here and listen to you. If some people are enamored with gifts, you know, the love language is gifts. Y'all know about the love language. One of them is receiving gifts. He walked around with rolls, stacks of money in his pockets. Come on now, you ain't seen that dude. You know that dude.
Yeah.
Everybody on him know that dude. You know, he walked around and he pull it out so you can see it. His purpose is that he know, because you have been talking, that you like the Dooney and Burke. Everybody might do. You like the Red Bottoms. He know that. And his purpose is, I'm going to be consistent and persistent with this gift till I get what I want. I have a purpose.
The other part of it is, if he knows that, I didn't mean to cut you off, if he knows that it's going to take 90 days to get what he wants from you, he'll find a 30-day chick to keep him cool until he reaches the 90 days with you.
Wow. I'm taking notes.
Please do.
Please do.
That's amazing you say that, if I may.
I work at a shop that should have been called Pimps, Players, and Hustlers literally years ago. And one of the pimps told me, he said, I have more respect for a car girl than a working woman. And I didn't understand. He said, because if that man, if the working girl, she knows what she's going in and she knows what she's taking out. Mm-hmm. So when she sits down at the table, she's getting her money, she leaves it. But the working woman, she's been wined and dined for 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months. And all along, if that man's total motive was just to get it and hit it, that
there
working woman is heartbroken, but the working girl is paid and on to the next one. And I was just like, wow, but there was another man telling me about another man. Like, you have to know who you're dealing with.
When you want to learn about a man, you need to be talking to another man that has that has no interest, that has no love interest in you, like what we're doing right now. Women have been manipulating men for years, and men have been manipulating women for years. The best teachers, the best teachers of the opposite sex are always the opposite sex. A woman can't tell you how a man is thinking. Because I'm telling you, I've had buddies when I was running the street. I know they are calculating in their mind, it's going to take me 30 days to get that. And another one, it's going to take me 90 days to get that. So they're not going to get tired of waiting because they got fillers. They got fill-ins before they get to them.
Yep.
And before you know, when the 90 days come, the 90 days done gone by so fast because they've been running with you and somebody else before you get to the point where you're ready to give in. I really believe that if you really want a consistent relationship with somebody, you have to ride it all the way out into consistency and behavior, consistency through conflict, and let them show you who they are when they have reached a point of conflict, not after they've gotten the sex, because they'll switch up on you right there.
Right.
Pastor, you and Tina and also fam from Atlanta, I know who it is. Appreciate you calling again. It's so much knowledge, and we wanted to address dating sucks. So you have to understand, once you understand all the things, the stages, and how long to date, and what is people's purpose, you can attack this situation a little different, and you could be more intentional in what you're dating. Sometimes I can't find a man. I can't find a man. And as Pastor Pratt is saying, I'll tell you the same. Ask a man that you have no interest how to find and get a man. Because we know what we want. You know, it becomes a state of mind for us. And that's what you got to understand now. Because we know when we lock our eyes on somebody and we want them, it becomes our purpose. It becomes our daily existence. Just remember that too, ladies. It's our daily existence because we want to get it. We don't like failure. We don't like failure.
Right.
So we're going to go get it. And whatever it takes to get it, we will. But when you press him to be consistent, press him to want to grow with you, he's going to either stay or he going to run. Just remember that. Because he's going to show himself. And he's going to run because he's going to say, oh, I can't do this. No, it's too much time.
But you know what causes that? You know what causes that? Boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
When you have boundaries, this is why I said you have to define the type of relationship that you really want. Now, so give you an example. I dated my wife, no sex, no kissing for 3 years.
Mm.
3 years. Mm. Now, you know I had to want that woman.
Yep.
Now,
yes, sir.
Because I had done it the other way before.
I'd done it the other way. Mm-hmm. I had slept with women. I had, you know, did all of these things before. I had, and now there is a friendship. There is a bond that I've never had before because both of us were on the same page about sex. Both of us were dating with the intention to get married. And both of us had enough self-love to say, if these particular foundational things aren't in place, we could walk away. We didn't have any soul ties to keep us from dealing with each other when there was nothing, when there was not enough to keep us together. We hadn't been sexually active with each other. I didn't have no 30-day, 90-day chick to keep me sexually satisfied. I sacrificed everything for me.
That's commit.
I committed to, here's what I'm saying. I committed to my relationship with God before I committed to a relationship with her. I didn't want to disappoint God in dating her. So it took us 3 years to feel comfortable that, yeah, we're ready to get married. We're ready. I'm ready to be your husband for the rest of my life. She was ready to be my wife. And it took us 3 years to get to the point where we felt like now we are in God's favor. And that's what we did. When the focus is on, man, I got to have some sex, and I'm used to having some sex. See, what you'll do is you'll, and so was I. What I was not used to is committing to God to his timetable. Now, everybody's timetable may not be 3 years. Somebody's timetable might be a year. Somebody's timetable may be, like Tina talked about, the different seasons. All I know is that we spent a lot of that time skipping down the road, loving each other to death, finishing each other's sentences, wearing, showing up in the same clothes, loving the same movie, loving football, loving basketball, loving all of these different things. And I said it to her. I think I shared that with you, Dr. Lawson. I said, I'd be glad we have an argument. She said, why in the world would you say that? I said, it's because it's going to prove the foundation of who we really are. And when we started getting into some disagreements and differences of opinion, and then we could agree to disagree, then I started saying, now I see the difference, because it's not the booty keeping me with her. That's not what it is.
We got a caller now. We'll let this caller get in before we get out of here. The caller with the last four digits of 4670. You are now live, and you can share your location, then off your expertise with us.
Hello, family. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Trevandier.
Hello.
I would like to offer. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm here to my wife. I'm great. How are you?
Doing wonderful.
Awesome. So I was basically raised in a family with a lot of women, and I'm very family oriented. However, I know of him because we don't have a relationship. And so, like, growing up, I used to always wait for him to come and see me, and a lot of times he didn't show up. And so one particular time I asked him, I was like, hey, Dad, can I have $5, you know, for school, for lunch that week? And he was like, $5? I don't have $5. So from that moment, I kind of felt like when it came to men, that I wasn't worth too much. So that partly came my independence and not really wanting to depend on a man. But, like, now I have, like, an awesome guy in my life. Like, he's there, like, for everything. And it's kind of hard to accept it because he doesn't want anything in return. And, like, his mom loves me, but I'm used to being that one that gives and not really get anything back. So I guess my question is, what can I do as a woman to be able to allow this man to do for me and not kind of try to ruin the relationship, because I'm used to, like, you know, terrible guys and basically, you know, like that 90 to 60 day when that 91st day comes, you know, they switching up or they just really telling me everything that I want to hear, because I was one of the ones that like, hey, my dad's not there and I love her. And so they basically had the blueprint, but now I'm kind of stuck. And I just, I don't want to go in a good relationship, so I just need a little help.
How long have you been in the relationship?
It has been, it's going on 10 months now.
Okay, okay. Is he showing consistency in behavior?
Yes, yes, all across the board.
Okay.
I had surgery, and he was there for me. He took me to the hospital. He called. You know, he came by my mom's house. Like, it was just, he was just there. And it really kind of scared me because I'm like, bruh, you in my space, because I'm just not used to it. I'm used to, like, fighting for that attention. But he was just there, like, even without me having to ask. He was just, it's so different from anything that I've ever been used to.
Okay. So here's what I would suggest. Dr. Lowe, if it's okay for me to, and Tina, if it's okay, and then you guys, maybe
sure.
You can put yours
yeah.
in as well. Okay.
Let's get about a minute.
So
we've got about 4 minutes left. Just get a minute so we can close the show. I'm about to close out on us, and we just want you to just give that great advice to him right quick.
Okay. Here's what I would suggest. I think it's really important for you to get into some counseling just for you. You've got to go through a personal process of loving yourself, not based on what your dad did and his behavior, because his behavior is defining everything about your self-worth. And your dad's behavior should not be defining who you are or what you should be getting. And that's a normal response, because fathers have such a powerful influence on how children see themselves. And
yeah.
So I think you need to go through a process either with a therapist, a coach, or someone that can walk you through a process of loving yourself and seeing your self-worth. That's a process. It won't happen overnight, but I do believe that that's the best thing that you can do for your relationship with him. But bigger than that, your relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
If I
and I want to
say
everybody off right here. Just quickly, because we got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds
okay.
left before
so
we shut down. Something.
I would reach
Dr.
Pastor Pratt Trebondier, if you could, because you get a personal assessment for myself. He kind of made something up for me on the spot, and it really helped me out, and it's given me my confidence a lot more at my age. So you getting this help right now at your young age, by the time you get my age, girl, you'll probably be married. You will be married and happy and continue to be successful in all your endeavors. Dr. Lowe?
That's awesome. Yes. Thank you so much. That's some awesome advice we got, and we got several people giving a shout-out. I want to give them a shout-out because I'm down to a minute and 50 seconds. You know, we always have to do that because we have these watchers and listeners, and they offer comments. As Denise Stephanie, as you know, each and both of y'all know her very well. Out of Berkeley, California, Behind the Mask Ministry. We have Demetria Besser. She's out of Montgomery, I'll say that. And she's Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. Marvin Smith, thank you so much. And he do a gospel show on Facebook. Dana Bowser out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Latay Pickens, her ministry is Inspire to Inspire. As well as Kelly Gordon. Thank you so much, Kelly. And we got Tina. She was chimed in both ways. Vanita Brewer Barnett, Dwayne Williams, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Mauro Montano, she was checking us out. Tasima Jackson, as well, is checking us out. I'm trying to run through them quick because he hit it timer. We also had Nicole Davidson. We have Tatina Sally Owens. Thank you very much. Join us, and I'll tell you, I made sure I hit everybody. Thank you, everybody. We're about to close out. We got about 60 seconds, more than 30 seconds, I'm going to say now, but it's been good. And I know my team going to say good night if y'all just say good night, because we're about to close it out in a minute, and we'll go from there. And thank you again, team, for joining.
Good night, everybody.
And we appreciate all of you. Good night.
Yes. God bless you.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And again, we had an awesome time tonight, and we got a testimony. I want you to, we're going to close it out by telling you, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome rest of the week, and we will talk with you again on Wednesday night, which is our sports show. Then back next week, we'll get back at it on Monday. Good night, and it's a testimony.
Amen.